I've done an extension here before. From early on in my career, I felt like it was a place that was different. And the more that I've been fortunate to play in the major leagues, you know, I don't go anywhere else, you know, wishing or wondering if it would be a better option. You know, this is where I want to be, and I feel just so strongly about the direction of this organization right now and the success ahead of us, and I'm really excited to make the most of it.
And now it's time for Judson Richards on 104.3 The Score.
On a Sunday afternoon, not the best Sunday afternoon, the Cubs drop 2-3 to the Washington Nationals to begin the season. We are not just here to allow you to react to that at 312-644-6767. You don't always get Sunday afternoon, late afternoon press conferences, but that is what we have this afternoon, as yes, Nico Hoerner and the Cubs will celebrate that six-year contract extension. We're guessing in just about 7 minutes or so, roughly. So we want to make sure that right here on the home of the Cubs, your Cubs flagship, 104.3 The Score, we get a chance to celebrate that contract extension and recognize Nico and what is said at that presser. So don't go anywhere. The conversation of why Jed Hoyer wanted to get it done and Nico's thoughts on it, we will have that here for you on The Score coming up probably within 10 minutes. But as I mentioned, Judson Richards along with you for just about the next hour and a half. Tyler Farengold on the other side of the glass there. And we want to get you in. Plenty to talk about, by the way. Not just about Nico. We can certainly talk about the start to this Cubs team at 312-644-6767. Speaking of recognizing, we also will recognize a basketball team heading to the Final Four. What it was, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight for Brad Underwood and the University of Illinois, waiting to find out who they play. Coming up, UConn and Duke battling it out right now, 6:23 left to go in the first half there. Duke is up big on UConn, 35-21. Again, Illinois will play the winner of that game in the Final Four, the first time in 21 years that the University of Illinois is heading back to the Final Four and will get a legitimate chance to play for a national championship, just 2 wins away from that. Again, a rough go for the Cubs today. They lose 6-3. Another rough start, in fact, the 2 losses a season. It was Matthew Boyd in the opener that allowed 6 earned runs over 3 2/3 innings of work. It was Shota Imanaga who allowed 4 earned runs in 5 innings of work, but it was that big swing in the first inning, Joey Weimer, and that 3-run home run. It was just, as Craig Counsell said in postgame, you're going to give up home runs. Shota is going to give up home runs. The 3-run home run is one that just cannot be allowed, and that's what happened in this game. But let's talk about Nico Hoerner a little bit. Again, the press conference right here on 104.3 The Score. The press conference over there at Wrigley Field will have it for you probably roughly in about 5 minutes. What a few months it has been, really, for Tom Ricketts, Jed Hoyer, and the Cubs when it comes to spending money and certainly locking up that infield for a long time. Go back to January. Alex Bregman signs a 5-year, $175 million deal. About a week ago, Pico Armstrong and the Cubs, they agreed to a 6-year, $115 million contract extension. And then following that home opener on Thursday night, Nico and the Cubs agreed to a 6-year contract extension for $141 million. $431 million over 17 seasons in just 3 players the Cubs have spent. So they have plans to win now, and they have plans to win in the future. Again, Judson Richards with you on 104.3 The Score as we get you set for that Nico Hoerner press conference coming up in just about 5 minutes. You know, there's a difference between the contract extension for Pico Armstrong, a young player, and that is much more projection-based. Yes, he was your starting center fielder in the All-Star game a year ago, but there was more projection ultimately of what he could or could not be as a big league player, right? They are guessing that he is going to figure it out. We know he's the best defensive player, best defensive center fielder in the game. But offensively, the plate, there's still a little bit of an unknown. But he is so talented, he is so gifted, it is worth that projection like they did. Then there's the contract that Nico Hoerner signed. Nico signed very much of a, you've earned it, just keep being the guy that you are. Just ultimately continue to be the player that you are. 28-year-old Nico Hoerner, again, 297 batting average last season. That was the second highest in the National League. A 7.6% strikeout rate. That was third best in all of baseball. A 6.2 WAR player. As great as PCA was a 6 war. Nico Horner was a 6.2 war. So as far as projection-based contract extensions go versus just outright earning one, that's what Nico Horner did. And I look forward to hearing what Jed Hoyer has to say about it in just a little bit. By the way, when you find a player, like the Cubs did, when you find a player and draft him and it can be homegrown, very much like Ian Happ, although I think that this could be the last year for Ian Happ, but this will be the third contract that Nico Horner will sign with the Cubs, drafted by the Cubs, the 24th overall pick in the first round back in 2018, a three-year $35 million deal back in 2024. He's in the final year of that deal, and you talk about a team-friendly deal, an outperforming one. That's exactly what Nico Horner did. So if you want to talk about this start to the Cubs season, they are 1-2 to get started. They drop the season opener to the Nationals 2-1. They will welcome the Angels in town tomorrow, a game you'll hear right here on 104.3 The Score. You want to talk about it, 312-644-6767. Speaking of the starting pitching, let's hear from Craig Counsell. Todd, do we have what Craig Counsell said about Shota Imanaga? Because, again, it's been a really interesting couple years for Shota Imanaga. You look like you found a guy of the future, and then the second half of the season, he gave up ultimately so many home runs where they did not even go to them in the final game of the season in the playoffs. So we've been watching, will his velocity get better? Will he start giving up home runs? Here's what Craig Counsell said about Shota after the game.
Yeah, I thought he pitched pretty well overall. A three-run homer, is a hurtful play in a game. I mean, it's a big play in a game. Put three runs on the board with one swing. So, I thought he navigated, that inning. He I guess the check swing base hit a little bit, and then was a pitch below the strike zone that maybe a split. He just pulled just a little bit, and enough for Weimer to just put it in the air the right way to get it out of the park. So. There was the swing and miss was there, which is a good sign. He'd probably like to have the walk to Abrams back to lead off the sixth. But other than that, there was a lot of good stuff. It was a pitch that hurt him today.
You know, what's interesting about Shota, before today's game, his previous seven appearances, this is including the postseason, Shota Imanaga, 34 and a third innings over those seven previous appearances, 13 home runs allowed, a 6.82 ERA. Even more staggering than that, by the way, when he has 91 miles per hour in his fastball or better, opponents hit 205, their 426 slug. When he is 90 miles per hour or below, a 353 opponent's batting average and a 980 slug. It is wild the difference in just about 1 or 1.5 miles per hour in the fastball of Shota Imanaga. So even though it looks like that fastball is a tick up, unfortunately, it looked like he gave up what he's been doing over those previous outings where he struggled mightily, and that's giving up the long ball. By the way, when we toss it to the Marquee Sports Network will have the Nico Horner press conference. The live press conferences on The Score are brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Also want to remind you that you can catch Nico Horner every Tuesday at 2:30 with Spiegel Holmes on 104.3 The Score. That's including this Tuesday, so just 2 days away at 2:30 p.m. right here on The Score. Nico Horner will get to talk to Spiegel Holmes. Always enjoy those interviews. It is always that much easier when you sign a player to a contract extension that is someone that is incredibly easy to root for. I feel the same way about Pete Crow Armstrong. I feel the same way about Nico Horner. And what about Alex Bregman today, right? Pretty good start for Alex Bregman in his Cubs career with two home runs on the day. Ian Happ got one as well. So offensively, it was a little bit of feast or famine. Feast or famine for the Cubs. And it's felt a little bit that way where we know last year when they were at their best, constantly bring hitters to the plate, and whether it was the bottom of the order or the top of the order. So it feels like a sluggish start, and it is ultimately a very, very early start, 3 games of 162, but still waiting to see this Cubs team to start to get it going. And the weather is going to be much less favorable as the Angels come to town, by the way. So the Cubs will need to get a little bit mentally tough these next three games to get going and hopefully get above 500, because I do believe that the Milwaukee Brewers are making quick work of the White Sox. there in Milwaukee. Judson Richards with you at 104.3 The Score. We are waiting patiently. I do think we are just minutes away, even less, for that live press conference. Nico Horner, six-year contract extension worth $141 million. Nico has played himself into really being the best second baseman in baseball with the years that he's had the last few years, and especially the year that he had last year. Nico not only has played his way into it, but the Cubs have rewarded him. That contract that he signed, the six-year contract extension for $141 million, that is the fourth largest contract ever for a second baseman. And so I would venture to guess that we will hear plenty of gratitude coming from Nico. We played it in the open there, as Nico said that he has a pretty clear understanding of what other places are like and how great he has it wearing that Chicago Cubs uniform, and he is going to do it, who knows, perhaps for his entire career. He's 28 years old. He's going to be 29 in just a few months, if not less than that. So there's a good chance that perhaps Nico Horner could be a lifetime second baseman for the Chicago Cubs. And we will look forward to hearing what he has to say. We'll get it to the Marquee Sports Network in just a minute. 312-644-6767. Also, we have to wait a week. It's a little disappointing. We have to wait a week to watch Illinois basketball again. Because I remember watching Illinois in November before Keaton Wagler even really kind of made his presence known, and thought, gosh, this is an incredibly fun team to watch. And Andre Stojakovic had a great game that game, much like he did against the University of Houston. But we are sitting on the precipice of a championship in Chicago, and I don't know if we would have guessed that the team closest to a championship would be wearing orange and blue and would be Brad Underwood's basketball team. They were at a Sweet 16 a couple years ago, a championship versus a Sweet 16 are two very different places. What University of Illinois did to get past Houston, who had been to seven straight Sweet 16s and was in the national championship just a year ago, the national championship game just a year ago, they proved toughness on Thursday night. And then Iowa. Iowa was up for a fight. Iowa was ready to go. But University of Illinois stayed the course. And much they've done throughout this season, and recently especially, is they play their best basketball in the second half, and they played their best basketball in the final 9 minutes against Iowa to go ahead and get it done. You want to talk about any of that? We can do it. 312-644-6767. Waiting on the Nico Horner press conference. We'll have it live right here on 104.3 The Score. One of the things that is unique, by the way, about March Madness and about college basketball is the celebration of reaching the Final Four. If you watched it last night, the celebration much is like you won a national championship. It's very unique. It also can change, by the way, your program. It can change the attendance of your school by just getting to the Final Four. As we look at Wrigley Field now, as they're getting set for the press conference, we are going to send it to the Marquee Sports Network right now, as Jed Hoyer will most likely take it away and get us set for the Nico Horner press conference and that six-year contract extension.
All right, good afternoon. Thanks for everyone for joining us, and a special welcome to everyone listening on 104.3 The Score and watching on Marquee. Today up on stage, we have Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Jed Hoyer, Cubs second baseman, Nico Horner, and Adam Karen from the Apex Baseball Group. Also joining us here in the front row, Nico's fiance Julia, her brother Dean. Nico's father Fred, Nico's mother Kelia, and Nico's sister Annika. We'll start with a quick opening statement from Jed, then we'll go in to an opening statement from Nico, and then we'll take some questions and answers and go from there. So with that, I'll leave it to Jed. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. First of all, that's what I want to say to everyone in the front row. What an amazing job you guys did, raising him. From day one, he's just been a model of, consistency, energy. We've never had a difficult moment at any point. I tell my kids often, just carry yourself like this, and I mean it. And so you guys did a wonderful job. So thank you. It's been a gift for us. to Adam. This is a first for me. This is three deals with the same player. I can honestly say I've never done that. We've had some good back and forth each time, but you know, even going the draft, the first extension, this one, it's always a great conversation, and it's always, you know, a strong desire to make sure he's here. So thank you for everything with that. I went back today. I was reading some of the scouting reports we had on Nico in the 2018 draft. Matt Dorey, our scouting director then, was really pounding the table for Nico. We drafted 24th that year. But the thing I thought was like the coolest thing is in each scouting report, it just said our kind of player, like, needs to be a Cub, plays like a Cub. Every one of the scouting reports was consistent in that this is the kind of player that we would want to have. And we're really fortunate that he got to our pick. I think he's second in that draft class right now in WAR behind Tariq Skubal. So we were very fortunate he got to us. But I thought it was really cool that each report indicated the way he played and that was the kind of player we wanted. And I would just say that could not be more true. You know, when I think about Nico as a player and a person, you know, I referenced it before, he's so unbelievably consistent. And I think sometimes consistency can be a little bit underrated or underappreciated. But when you look at what he's done over the last 4 years since he really established himself in the big leagues, you know, he's been a top 20 player by any estimation in the league by being so unbelievably consistent. And so I think whenever you make this kind of investment in a player, you want to invest in someone that you know is going to keep trying to get better every day. You want to invest in someone that's going to be a great teammate. And Nico has all those things. So super easy decision for us. And I couldn't be happier that he'll be with us for a long time. So thank you, Nico.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, today is a day of reflection of sorts, maybe less so since we were on the field an hour ago. But yeah, just there's a ton of gratitude right now. There's a lot of gratitude to the Ricketts family for the opportunity, for Jed and the entire front office for believing in me, to everybody in the front row right now, to Julia, who has been with me since before I played a pitch in college baseball, and has been with me through every single bit of it, and carried through me through tough times and through this negotiation process, reminding me of my worth and everything too. And I'm so grateful for you and my family sitting in the front row and making sure that you're here. I love you so much, and thank you for being here. To teammates are an incredible part of this whole journey, and the Cubs have done an amazing job of always having good people around. I think that's been the constant. You play with so many people over the years, but just been incredibly consistent throughout. And to all the guys that took time after a long weekend of playing, I appreciate you being here. I particularly want to shout out Ian. Just been with you for every bit of this. Lockers next to each other. I slid into Riz's locker when he was moved out of here, and who became your companion next to you, and just never seen someone work like you, and so grateful for the time. So there's a lot to be excited for right now. There's gratitude and excitement, and I'm so excited to transition into this next chapter of my career and time here. And you know, you go back and forth so much through negotiation and, you know, what's the team value, what do you value, figuring things out. And you realize the more you go back and forth over and over and again, you're really fighting for the same exact thing. Is they're putting trust and commitment into me, and I'm putting trust and commitment into them, and achieving the same exact thing, which is taking this as far as we can and creating championship quality baseball every single year. And I think when Jed and I really looked each other in the eyes towards the end of the process, that was really just the obvious common sentiment and something that I'm incredibly excited for. So thank you so much, everybody.
Great. Thanks, Nico. We can go to questions now. Please raise your hand if you have a question. It looks like Bruce in the back.
Nico, congratulations. I wonder if, I know you're not doing it for this, or you haven't done this for your career, but the example of you as a player rather than as you as a home run hitter or a slugger, and just the all-around player you've been, are you hoping this is something people can look at and go, I'm this type of kid, I can move forward with my career and be like Nico Horner and be successful?
Yeah, I forgot to thank Adam. my eyes were in front of me. Adam has been with me since, met him in Cape Cod, and I just really, really appreciate having representation that prioritizes me as a person and my family and everything in that way, but also, reminding me of my worth, and I could not be more proud of every bit of our processes that we've had together, and I couldn't trust you anymore, so you made it as smooth and enjoyable as it possibly could be, and I'm extremely grateful, so thank you. Bruce, I think it is exciting. You know, the game, there's so many ways to create value in our sport, and, you know, there are more consistent ways that you see people getting paid a lot of money, I think, but I'm very proud of getting to this point by being myself. You know, I still want to improve. I want to add to my game. I want to be the best version of myself, but I'm also proud that, you know, my game in a lot of ways hasn't changed that much since I was in high school and in college, and you're always improving around the edges, but I feel like I've stayed pretty true to myself, and I'm really grateful that, that's valued in this game, and I just want to improve and keep running that out there.
Andy?
Nico, you've kind of stressed how much you wanted to stay here, and you had to deal with some of the rumors going around with your name and trade rumors. Just how nice is it to have that peace of mind knowing that you're pretty much guaranteed that you can finish your career here and be a Chicago Cub?
Yeah, it means the world, because I really think, you know, you're going back and forth on, like, you know, what's important to you in this process and, like, what is going to be the most satisfying, joyful thing, and I think there'd be nothing more rewarding and satisfying than winning a championship in the place that I started. And, like, there's just so many relationships in this building and people that I've gotten to know over the years, and it just, those kind of celebrations mean that much more when it's with people that you've been through a lot with. We got a small taste of that just making the playoffs last year, winning a first round series, and I think we're a part of a group right now that's capable of a whole lot more, and I think that should be the standard moving forward, but that's absolutely the driving factor.
Sahara, go ahead.
Jed, when you won a World Series here before, defense was at the forefront, elite defense. It, obviously, you signed Dansby, you extend Pete, Ed, Alex, and now Nico. How important is that for your vision of this team reaching its highest goals?
Yeah, no, I think that it is sort of the connective tissue, I would say, to both those teams. We played incredible defense in 16. I think we played amazing defense last year, and I think it was...
You're listening to the number one and most listened to sports station in Chicago. Sports Radio 104.3 The Score, WSCR, WSCR-FM, and HD1 Chicago, an Odyssey sports station.
Again, we're listening live to the Nico Horner contract extension press conference. His audio is courtesy of our friends at the Marquee Sports Network. Live press conferences on The Score are brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Let's go back to the presser now.
You know, Dansby's an incredible shortstop. It's nice to know Nico can go over there at any point and play there really well. You know, he hasn't done that a lot in recent years, but it's certainly something that with other teams, I think he'd be playing shortstop, and it's a great feeling to have two shortstops, you know, playing in the infield for us.
Cheryl, go ahead.
Nico, congratulations. What is the vibe of the team, knowing that you got an extension, P has an extension, they signed Alex to a long-term deal, and Dansby, what does that vibe feel like right now?
I think those are things that can create confidence, but also responsibility for guys, and I think that's a really powerful thing when the organization has put that much trust and commitment into you, and the responsibility as a player not to do more or try and be different, but just pour that back into the team, into the organization, into the fan base, and knowing that you're in a place for a long time, I think it makes it that much easier to just go all in and be present for the people around you. And, you know, anytime in baseball you're getting pulled too far beyond the year that you're in the middle of is, you know, that's a slippery slope. So I think just being on an amazing team right now and having high expectations is an incredible opportunity we're all really excited for.
Jesse?
Similar questions. I want to Nico and then maybe Adam as well. Just a year before free agency, right? And a lot of people talk about maybe testing the market, seeing what 29 other teams think about you. Where does that play into it? Maybe Nico and then maybe Adam as you advise him. You know, is it, hey, if we don't get it by opening day, let's see what it looks like a year from now with 29 other teams. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, reaching free agency in our sport is a really big deal. It takes time. It takes a lot of health and fortune and opportunity. And so it's not something you take lightly when that opportunity is close. But you also take a step back and think about what opportunity would be better. And I'm in a place right now where I don't think there's a better place to play baseball in the sport. You know, we have an incredible opportunity in front of us here, and having a taste of the playoffs last year and seeing what that's like, it's a thing that gives me a lot of confidence, and the values follow from there.
I mean, look, it's player driven, this process, and free agency is an honor to reach. And in Nico's case, that was a big part of our discussion with Nico and Julia was, you know, do you go and see what that's like? Do you experience that? And it's a rare thing for a player to reach free agency. In his case, I think that they were dual priorities, and he ended up picking the one that was more important for Nico.
Jordan?
Nico, I think back to the playoffs where after a defensive play, Wrigley Field chanted your full name, and you said after the game it caught you by surprise. Yep. But just as you've reflected on that moment, just kind of what do you think about now about that moment, and just what it's like to be with a fan base that has learned to really appreciate what you do on the field?
As an athlete, like, you know, you'd be lying if you said you didn't care what the fans thought of you, right? Like, it's a powerful thing to be supported by people, and doesn't mean it always has to be good, but knowing that they have your back and there's energy behind you and they want to see great plays and energy and winning baseball, and we're all pulling in the same direction, and it's a powerful thing to do that in front of a stadium of people. Yeah, that moment really did catch me off guard. I hadn't had a great first half of the game, and things were back and forth, and then just catch one ball and an entire stadium's behind you. So that was absolutely a special day and an important moment to remember for sure.
We'll go back to Sahadev.
Nico, going off what Bruce was talking about, obviously power may get the headlines, but you talk to anybody that's played with you, that's watched you play, they bring up words like work ethic, attention to detail, all these things that, you know, you may not see unless you're around you. What does that mean to you to know that's what everyone thinks about you?
It's a high compliment, but I think it's also a reflection of the standards of this group. And, you know, we all do it in our own ways, but those are qualities that are pretty consistent throughout our entire room and work from counts down. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that work really hard and don't get to this point. And there's definitely been times where I've grinded harder and not had much success. So it really takes more so confidence to be efficient, to do less, to trust yourself that your skill set's not going anywhere, even when you're not playing well. And I've been fortunate to play around some guys that are incredibly efficient and confident and learn from them. And we all do it in different ways, but that's the nice part about being around incredible players is you pick up little things, and I think your teammates are often your most powerful resource.
Alex, go ahead.
Hey, Nico. Congratulations, obviously. You have a wonderful support system, obviously, to the left of this room. How important, meaningful is it to have all your teammates here, you know, to the right side, right in front of me, just after the game and being able to, you know, do 159 more of these with six more years to go with them?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a sport that if you're doing it alone, no matter how good you are at the sport, it's going to be pretty dang hard. So sharing every single day with a group of people that are the only people that can really relate, you know, you love your family, you love your partner, whatever it is, but the guys in the room are the ones that are, you know, really going through the same things mentally, and the good, the bad, everything in between. And having a group that's open and celebrates each other is a really powerful thing. And I think our culture is continuing to just improve and grow as we get more time together. And, you know, this group right now that we have is in pretty much a sweet spot of several players haven't really been together for a while. And then you throw in some really top end talent and guys coming up too. And that's a really special recipe.
Bruce, go ahead.
Nico, you were Ryan Sandberg's favorite Cub player. Can you impart some of the things he might've shared with you over the years?
I think his appreciation for Wrigley itself, for Chicago, for a career here, I think meant the world to him. He always prioritized being on the field and being around baseball, even to the end of his life, which was one of the most powerful things I think I've seen. And just a reminder of the opportunity to play and how even a 20-year career can feel short, and just very, very grateful for our short overlap and for his words of advice. And I've told this story before, but it's my favorite interaction I've had with him, where I in passing, we were talking just gloves. You know, I was breaking on my glove. I guess I always have it on my hand. So, and he just asked me how I broke it in, this and that. And then a year and a half later, he shows up with two of his gloves. I think it was 84 and 89. He had it Sharpied on there and just wanted to show me. It had the gold glove patches on it, and just how thoughtful he was to have that come back up in his mind and just think, oh, I'm going to bring these to Arizona and share these. And like, that was such a personal thing to think of, and an amazing thing for a Hall of Famer to share.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you very much, everyone. And we'll break out for a couple photos up on stage, and then we'll break out for some individual scrums. Thanks.
Thank you.
So the one thing that we really...
All right, there it is. That is the conclusion of the Nico Horner contract extension press conference. Judson Richards back here with you on 104.3 The Score. Would you like to react to that? 312-644-6767. I certainly have some big takeaways, but we want to get your thoughts. We can talk about Nico specifically, anything you heard there. We can also talk about the start to this Cubs season, who dropped a series, their opening series to the Washington Nationals. The text line is open as well, 312-644-6767. Also want to remind you, if you want to hear more of Nico and always enjoy, you know, how comfortable it is in a casual conversation, even a friendly conversation, every Tuesday, 2:30 p.m., it is Nico Horner with Spiegel and Holmes right here on The Score, including this Tuesday. So just 2 days from now, we'll get to hear more about Nico, more about that contract extension. $141 million over 6 years. That is the fourth largest contract in Major League Baseball history for a second baseman. Tom Ricketts and the Cubs have spent $431 million on three players, adding up to 17 years, six for PCA in that extension, six for Nico, and then five for the new third baseman, Alex Bregman, who hit two home runs today. His first at Wrigley and his second at Wrigley came on this Sunday. And this infield, how about the way that the Cubs have set up this infield? Again, Michael Busch under team control for 2029. That's your first baseman. Nico Horner, that six-year contract extension he has signed through 2031 for the Cubs. Dansby Swanson signed through 2029. And, of course, Alex Bregman in that five-year deal signed through 2030. So the Cubs have spent plenty of money. Tyler, you let me know if we've got any audio, anything we want to bring back throughout the day, if we've heard from Alex Bregman or whatnot. But we're here to take your reaction, 312-644-6767. Why don't we take a break now? Tyler, let's take a break now. We'll reset. We'll get these phone lines going, and we'll talk more about this press conference. You can react to this Cubs season that's gotten started. We can react to the presser. Also want to talk more about University of Illinois basketball. Jay Billis had a very interesting comparison to who he sees as Keaton Walker. So we'll step away, we'll reset, and we'll have it all for you. That's coming up next on 104.3 The Score.
Swings and hits a drive into deep right field. Back goes Weimer near the wall. That ball is gone. Home run, Alex Bregman. His second of the day. Again, it's not over yet. The wind is starting to blow out. Bregman with two home runs, and now it's a 6-3 Washington lead. That's impressive opposite field power.
Yeah,
there.
I would agree, and I'm kind of liking the gold spikes. That's worked out pretty good today. Two home runs, one to right center and one to left center.
Hey, when Ron Coomer likes your spikes and you hit two home runs, I mean, that is a good day. Unfortunately, not a great day for the Cubs. They lose 6-3. They lose a series to the Washington Nationals. Judson Richards back here with you on 104.3 The Score. Heard that call from Pat Hughes right here on The Score. You also just heard the contract extension press conference for Nico Horner. You know, we keep trying to celebrate the Nico presser and the Nico money, $141 million. But the news was announced after the opening day loss, 10-4 the final on Thursday. day off Friday, win Saturday 10-2, and then the Cubs lose 6-3 today, and then you have the press conference for the Nico Horner contract extension. So you'd like to have them do a little bit more winning. Again, if you'd like to respond to what you heard, talk about the start to the Cubs season, not good. It is not good. I know it's 162. I understand that. There's always a concern about starting pitching, right? I mean, you know, we are still in March, all right? If there was ever a time, if you're feeling a little hotter under the collar as a Cubs fan, you're like, well, how are we going to get to 90-plus wins and then get past a divisional round? If we can't beat the Washington Nationals, we're not to April yet. In fact, tomorrow isn't even April. Last time I checked, right? What day is it? Tyler, yeah,
March 29th.
March 29th, which means tomorrow is March 30th. Next day is March 31st. And then you get to April. I'm used to this season. Feels like it's usually starting in April, unless it's mid-March and in Tokyo like last year. So we can tell ourselves it's early. I mean, it is early. That's the point I'm trying to make. But I'm also just saying Matthew Boyd needs to be better and Shohei Imanaga needs to be better. We'll just get that out of the way. I don't want to put it all on starting pitching. They just didn't really fit. The Washington Nationals felt like they were the team kind of coming off a division round playoff and had more juice than the Cubs did. I mean, I can't be the only one that felt that. If you were out at Wrigley, what did you feel? 312-644-6767. What did Alex Bregman feel? Let's hear from Bregman after the game. Obviously, feeling pretty good about himself. A couple home runs, went back-to-back with Ian Happ. Ian Happ has homered on back-to-back days. That's certainly a great sign because Ian Happ got off to a slow start for months last year. If he can get his bat going sooner, the Cubs will be in a lot better way, especially without the bat of Kyle Tucker in this lineup. Here's Alex Bregman on this opening series.
Players always seem to dislike talking about things they've done and losses. Over the years, you've just developed a way to go about it, because that's what we're doing today.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we want to play better than we did this series. I feel like just didn't do enough good things to win the series, but the season's a marathon, so just put our head down, keep working, and keep pushing forward. And best part about baseball is you have a game tomorrow.
They certainly do. And they'll play the Angels tomorrow at Wrigley Field, a game you'll hear right here on 104.3 The Score. Another one from Alex Bregman on, you know, not reacting to the season like it's an NFL season where you only play 17 games instead of 162 games.
Baseball fans have a hard time sometimes getting away from the NFL idea that, you know, we're down one, we lost two and one. And there's still 160, you know, games left. So,
yeah, I feel like in here we take it one pitch at a time, one day at a time. We gotta focus on the next pitch in this long season. And I think some people did some good things this series. Did some things we need to clean up a little bit, and we'll be better for it moving forward.
So that's Alex Bregman on the game itself. Comes off to a 1-2 start. They dropped the series to the Washington Nationals. I will say this about Shota. You know, the Cubs were not all in on Shota for a contract extension, which would have signed him up for another 3 years last year, right? The Cubs had their own reservations. And Boog laid it out on the television side. Shota's previous 7 appearances before today's game, including the postseason game against... Did he pitch against the Brewers? I know they left him in the pen at the end there. I think, yeah, he did get one start. 7 appearances, including the postseason. Shota, 34 1/3 innings of work over those 7 appearances. 13 home runs allowed with a 6.82 ERA. And the one thing that Shota could not do, who made some good pitches today, was give up the 3-run home run to Joey Wiemer. Right? So as we're trying to keep an eye on Shota, the guy that the Cubs weren't all in on, but were good enough to bring him back for 1 year, he was out there giving up home runs yet again. And so as the Cubs are reliant on Shota being much better than he was last year, the biggest problem last year was home runs. What happened today? They gave up the home run. Matthew Boyd was electric for 3 innings and then completely hit a wall. So between Shota and Matthew Boyd, guys who will be relied along a lot this year, there were 10 earned runs between them, six by Boyd and then four by Shota, and you find yourselves dropping a series to the Washington Nationals, who were only projected to win 67 games, and according to Pecota, where the Cubs projected to win about 90. This was a good one from Bregman. Bregman has already changed his walk-up song, and I very much agree with who gave him a thought that perhaps it was time to make a change. Here's Alex Bregman.
He told me to play that other, use that other walk-up song because he sings all the lyrics to it, and it's two for two so far. So hopefully, I saw him in the stands today. So hopefully, he had a good time of the game.
Forgive me, that he is Knox, his four-year-old. So Alex's four-year-old son, his opinion, and I thought a good one. When I first heard his walk-up song, it was a country song, and it started out kind of flat and then was interrupted mid-sentence, and I just thought, this has no flow to it. This has no juice to it. It's kind of felt like how the Cubs started this season. So Alex's four-year-old son said, why don't we consider making a change for the old walk-up song? And good on Alex for listening to Knox to make a change there. Let's hear from Craig Counsell on Alex Bregman's two home runs today.
Offensively for Bregman,
yeah, I mean, like, they had a couple homers with men on base, and we didn't, you know, we couldn't put men on base ahead of our home runs, so that was kind of the story of the game today, really. But it's good to see Alex have a couple good swings and get things on the board and get going.
All right, so that was Nico Horner. Check that. That was Craig Counsell on Alex Bregman. We are here for the Nico Horner press conference on 104.3 The Score. I'd like to hear from Cubs fans. Has Tom Ricketts been able to change your opinion at all about the way he spends money? Right? Do you find yourself going, this is an ownership that now feels more serious about trying to win a title, about trying to win a World Series, about trying to win a championship, about trying to do what the Cubs did do 10 years ago in 2016, where they actually got it done? Or do you still think that the Cubs should be bigger spenders because of that ATM machine that feels like Wrigley Field, always hanging around 40,000 plus in Wrigleyville? $431 million spent over three players since January. Alex Bregman, Pico Armstrong, and now Nico Horner. Has Tom Ricketts changed your mind at all on him? 312-644-6767. Again, this Joey Weimer. I didn't know much about the Weimer. I've learned a lot more. Does anybody call him? Do they call him the Weimer? No, probably not. Joey Weimer homers on opening day, and then the three-run shot today. Let's hear more from Craig Counsell about the outing from Shota Imanaga.
Yeah, I mean, I think Shota's going to give up home runs. It's kind of the nature of the pitcher that he is. The three-run homers, you know, you have to prevent those because those are game-changing swings. So, you know, that's the deal. There are pitchers and pitching styles that lead to that when they're solo shots, and you can limit the damage on them. It works. It's a very workable way to pitch and be very successful. But the big swings like that, three-run homers, it's hard to win games with three-run homers from the other side.
I believe it was a splitter that he hit it on. Again, Shota's fastball was up around 92 miles per hour spring training. The velocity looked like he was back somewhat, but it didn't matter today. It was struck out the first two batters of the game. Looked like he was going to cruise through the first inning. Gave up two soft hits, three-run shot. You know, that should never be the game, but the Cubs bullpen hasn't necessarily come in and slammed the door in the two losses that they've had. So Cubs are off to a 1-2 start. You want to talk about that? Let's do it. 312-644-6767. Change of the year now to University of Illinois. Let's hear from Brad Underwood and the journey that he has had.
I never doubted, and I don't want to sound arrogant, I've never doubted us getting to a Final Four would happen. I thought we've had other teams capable, but I also know how doggone hard it is to do it. And for that, I just say thank you. I say thank you to everybody involved, and I'm going to get emotional, but it's you know, I've been doing this 39 years, and you dream about this as a kid, and I dreamt about doing it at Illinois back in the day when my wife bought Tyler, who was maybe two, a Brian Cook jersey. And you knew what a special place this was, and it always has been, and there's been no other thing for me. This is my dream job, and it's very fulfilling to get where we're going.
All right, that was Brad Underwood on University of Illinois heading to the Final Four. I thought this stat was wild. This is the first time in 72 years that the Sweet 16 does not include Kansas, Kentucky, UCLA, or University of North Carolina. I mean, that is wild. Now, I don't want to make the comparison that Illinois is like Indiana basketball. Like Indiana football, right? With how the NIL seems to have really changed the power of a lot of programs making a very competitive push to win a national championship that we're not used to seeing. Illinois basketball has been nothing like the state of Indiana football over the last number of decades. But you can't tell me that it hasn't changed a lot of things. Again, like, maybe it's not exactly why Illinois is there, but I think it may be a reason why those schools we just mentioned are not there. First time in 72 years, the Sweet 16 does not include Kansas, Kentucky, UCLA, or North Carolina. Maybe that doesn't directly mean Illinois is now in the Final Four for the first time in 21 years, but it may change the path that allows you to get there. 312-644-6767. Let's hear from Illinois fans the confidence you have now for a chance to go ahead and win a national championship. Illinois on Saturday will play the winner of Duke and UConn. Duke and UConn are playing right now. The Blue Devils are up 50-35 over the Huskies with 16:58 in the second half in that one. So that game, 50-35, as of now, looks like Illinois could be playing Duke on Saturday. What fun would that be? You want to talk Illinois? Let's do it. You want to talk Cubs? Let's do it. 312-644-6767. Ryan is calling in from Wyoming, wants to talk a little Cubs baseball on the Score. Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
How's it going, guys? Just traveled across Wyoming, thought I'd listen to you guys in the Nico press conference. You asked about Ricketts spending, and as a Wyoming fan, or as a Cubs fan from Wyoming, I'd say from the outsider's view, Ricketts spending, I think, brings some joy, and I think why this weekend series against the Nationals is so heartbreaking to all these Cubs fans, right? We have a core for the next several years. We have a second baseman that doesn't feel rhino-shoot by any means, especially if I ask my dad, but I think there's a lot of sense of pride and joy of, like, hey, we're the Chicago Cubs again, and that's why this weekend's games, I think, are just so heartbreaking for Cubs fans. There's a lot of excitement around Chicago Cubs baseball.
So, Ryan, do you feel differently today about Tom Ricketts than you may have felt at the conclusion of last season?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the Ricketts family, I think Tom's opened up the checkbook to be that big player, and I think there's more moves to come, right? We'll see how this season goes, whether it's a trade. I think they're going to open up the checkbook. There's a lot of money coming off the payroll this season, and I think they're going to spend more to really make sure that Chicago Cubs baseball is talked about for the next five, six years.
Ryan, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I think the Cubs, I think they were 11th in spending in baseball, and then they may have moved into about ninth. I don't know exact. I don't have those figures, or at least I'm looking at SpotTrack now, and that's the tax threshold. I do see that, you know, the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Yankees, 1, 2, and 3. That certainly looks about right, and it has the Cubs at number 9. I want to say they were at about 11. So I would have thought the Nico Horner contract would have moved that up more, but perhaps they've moved the money around a little bit. But the Cubs, from a spending standpoint, are in the top 10. I do think they may have spent the most this offseason, contract-wise. So that says a lot about Tom Ricketts. And Craig Kenny was on the Score discussing that the money that they earned from being in the playoffs has gone back into the roster, and that has showcased itself with Bregman, PCA, and now Nico Horner. You know, this quote, by the way, Ryan, you mentioned that obviously Nico Horner is not Rhino, right? He's not Ryan Sandberg. And so much of that has to do with the home run standpoint, because Rhino hit a lot more than Nico did. But I found this quote from Craig Counsell on opening day to be really interesting. Craig Counsell said, I think Nico can grow. I'm optimistic he's going to get better. He has the ability to drive the ball a little more. I think that's ready to show up. So although the Cubs would be very, very happy just getting the Nico that they had, especially last year, where he had the second best batting average in the National League, .297. His 7.6% strikeout rate was third best in all of Major League Baseball. So he puts the ball in play a lot. He's got a great eye. He gets on base a lot. But they also want Nico to drive the ball more. They simply want him to hit more home runs. Yes, doubles and triples would be great as well. But getting the ball over the fence, as we watch with the Washington Nationals, if it's a crooked number, can really help you win a game. And since Nico's been a full-time player, he's only hit double-digit home runs one time. 2022, he hit 10 of them. 2023, he hit 9. And then the last 2 years, he's only hit 7 home runs a season. So he's only hit 14 home runs the last 2 years. And Nico's got an issue where he can't keep his back foot planted. He moves it. As he swings, his back foot moves and it takes away your power. I think that the Cubs think he's come a long way in his swing. And I think that there is a projection in the money that they've spent that it also will lead to more power numbers. Because, again, an investment is great. And they'd love to get everything they got in 2025. Wouldn't it be nice if they got a little bit more, if the ball went over the fence a little bit more? I think that the Cubs are projecting that that can come with Nico Hoerner's game if he just makes nothing's easy when you're standing in the batter's box of a Major League Baseball field. But if he has that back foot planted and his legs are underneath him, yes, of course, he's going to be able to drive the ball and hit more home runs. Back to the University of Illinois, because I think they have a legitimate chance. Well, of course they do. They're playing in the Final Four. I do think they're going to run into Duke. But when you talk about this program, when you talk about specifically this basketball team, by the way, that we're watching, you do have to start with the coaching staff. As great as the players are, it's the coaching staff that's had a tremendous vision in building a team. You know, college basketball feels so much like let's recruit because we're a blue blood. Let's get the best freshmen we can, even if they're going to leave for the NBA. Let's take talent. Let's take talent. We'll get it on the court. And by March, we'll have it figured out. And then you've got your programs that aren't blue bloods, where they rely a little bit more on let's have a team that's played 1, 2, 3 years together. They know each other really well, and we can be better in team basketball. Team basketball versus talent. Then you got the University of Illinois that has done it all, right? So not only have they been terrific when it comes to European recruiting, they've got height, they've got length, they've got the veteran, like a Kylan Boswell on the court, and then they've got the youth movement as well. It's like, we're going to recognize a freshman that no one else has any idea how great he can be in Keaton Wagler. Like, you talk about building a program. So international scouting, veteran players combined with young players, and then just ultimately being able to coach it up. I think it was a 24-22 game they were leading at halftime, University of Houston in the Sweet 16. Anybody watch the halftime shows? I heard multiple times Houston has them right where they want them because it was a low-scoring affair. You know how you see great coaching in college basketball or basketball anywhere? What does a team look like when they come out at halftime? Are the adjustments clear, concise, and do they execute it? That was great coaching and also great performance by this team. Let's hear from Jay Billis, Tyler, if we could. Jay Billis on ESPN. How about this comp for who freshman Keaton Wagler reminds him of?
Wagler is Tyrese Halliburton. That's who I think he plays like when he was at Iowa State. And obviously, look what he's turned into as a pro. But that kid is gifted. And how he wasn't ranked in the top 150 coming out of high school in Shawnee Mission, Kansas, is really hard to imagine.
How about the three he backed up on? That was Halliburton. You turned to me and said, that's Halliburton.
That's Halliburton.
I mean, step in, and he went two full steps back, got his feet underneath him.
He
that was a big
time. He spun the defender around. The defender ended up at the baseline. That's
when he showed up in Champaign, you're like, well, maybe a red shirt. Good idea to go ahead and let him play.
So that was Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg, and Jay Williams talking about this Illinois team and Keaton Wagler. Great story from Brad Underwood on Keaton Wagler recognizing him in high school.
The first time I saw him live, though, we'd already signed him. And it was in a game the night before. He'd had 36. The night I went to see him, he had 2. And I walked out and I couldn't wait to get my son on the phone. And I said, we just got an incredible talent. And they blitzed him. They got it out of his hand. He made every right play. He was not selfish. He was not a pig. He wasn't trying to do force things. He just let the game come to him. Very, very mature as a senior in high school when you're the guy. And he just played the game. And so I felt great about it. Did I know a 178-pound kid coming in was going to be this? I didn't. To be the South Region MVP and All-American is, I would be lying. I'm proud as heck of him because no one works harder than him and no one's a better human being than him.
That's great stuff on Brad Underwood on Keaton Wagler and how terrific he's been, including 25 points against the University of Iowa. Iowa showed up ready to play. All of a sudden, it was like a 9-0 run. They were down 12-2. Weathering the storm has kind of become the MO for this Illinois basketball team, weathering the storm and then beating you in the second half. And I think any team in this March Madness, any team in this specific March Madness, I don't care if it was the round of 32, the round of 64, or the Sweet 16, if you beat Houston, you have a chance, you have the game to win a national championship. I don't want to overlook Duke because it does look like it will be Illinois and Duke on Saturday, of course. But if you're in the Final Four, you're ultimately playing for a championship, right? If you're down to four, then you're in that conversation. And if you beat Houston, a lot of teams probably thought if they beat Houston, they may be the national champion or they may have won in the Final Four. But if you weather that storm and then prove the toughness that they proved with how skilled they are as well, that's who Illinois is. That's who the Illini is. And that is a team that I think has a legitimate chance to beat whoever it is, UConn or Duke, next Saturday. Currently, Duke is up on UConn 55-43 with 13 minutes left to go. Let's hear from, this was a really great soundbite. Let's hear from Jay Williams on ESPN this morning talking about this Illinois basketball team.
You know, over the last 5 days, Seth and I got a chance to go to Chicago. We spent some time with D. Brown, yeah, who obviously was in that national championship game in 2005. And I did another podcast with Darren Williams. And I always thought, like, those guys were one of the most, talented backcourts college basketball scene in a long time. And we started talking about Keaton Wagler and just his ability to affect the game with so many of those invisible plays, JB, that he makes defensively and offensively. But still, like, the patience and the maturity to know who they are. And Seth, your point about Stojakovic, obviously an elite shooter, but the physicality that those guards embracing, getting to the rim, playing through contact, settling down the game shows you they can win in a variety of ways. And I think those guards back then appreciate the position that these guards are now in with their versatility and how they play offense.
It's a great combination no matter what sport you're talking about. No matter what, whether you're talking about baseball, football, or basketball, hockey, otherwise, if you can combine toughness with skill, right, if you can combine acumen to the game in itself and toughness, like we've watched University of Illinois do, you can do great things. And I don't know, like I just went to SpotTrack to see how the salary lays out, the payroll in Major League Baseball. Someday we'll get a payroll layout of NIL. I'd be so curious to know exactly, especially college football, college basketball, how they're spending. But no matter what, whether you're spending a lot or not, you have to have an understanding about who you want your team to be. It can't just be about finding 10 guys or, Illinois plays in such waves. When I was looking at the box score, I was surprised to see that they only rotated 8 players in the game. But no matter who those 8 are, it's a game of Tetris. Can you make it all fit? And Illinois, from a size and length standpoint, so ability to rebound, second chance rebounds, and then do you have some pure scorers out there? Stojakovic can go and get you a bucket at any time. Obviously, Keaton Wagler can get you a bucket at any time. They have built this team for what it looks like, obviously, to be a Final Four contender and a legitimate national championship contender. A trip to the Final Four for the first time since 2005. What a season it's been for the University of Illinois. Judson Richards here with you on 104.3 The Score, special edition on a Sunday afternoon. Because of the Nico Horner press conference, a couple of our favorite sound bites coming from that presser. That's next.
There's so many ways to create value in our sport, and there are
the more consistent ways that you see people getting paid a lot of money, I think. But I'm very proud of getting to this point by being myself. You know, I still want to improve. I want to add to my game. I want to be the best version of myself. But I'm also proud that, you know, my game in a lot of ways hasn't changed that much since I was in high school and in college. And you're always improving around the edges. But I feel like I've stayed pretty true to myself. And I'm really grateful that, you know, that's valued in this game. And I just want to improve and keep running that out there.
All right, that was Nico Hoerner as we recognize his contract extension press conference. You heard it all right here live on 104.3 The Score. Judson Richards back here with you. Just a reminder, Nico Hoerner continues to join Spiegel & Holmes every Tuesday at 2:30 p.m., including this Tuesday, weekly throughout the baseball season. Look forward to that. And Nico is right? It must be nice to have the kind of game where you don't have to change a thing, high school, college, and up into the pros. You just do it right. You play great defense. You grind out at bats. You swing at strikes. You have a great on-base percentage. And most importantly, you're just ready to do that every single day. You know, I grew up watching some Stanford baseball. If you're a college baseball fan, you probably spend time watching Stanford because they're always around. They're always in it. And they're the kind of program where you don't have your name on the back of your jerseys, right? I know that sounds cliche. But if you actually watch the way that Stanford plays baseball, it is a very team-oriented style. That's where A.J. Hinch played his college baseball. And it just, Nico seems to really fit that mold. I'm sure that was probably raised in him by his parents to be very much a team-first guy. But he fits in really, really well. Obviously, Jed Hoyer likes him. Jed opened the press conference by acknowledging he's never done three contracts with a player. This was a first for him. They drafted him in 2018. They signed him to a three-year, $35 million deal back in 2024. They re-upped for the six-year contract extension worth $141. Jed also said that looking back at that 2018 draft, because Nico Hoerner went 24th overall, he has the second highest WAR of any player coming out of that draft. Now, the other guy may have a much higher WAR than Nico. He goes by the name of Tarek Skubal, the left-handed ace of the Detroit Tigers. But that's a pretty good draft pick at 24th to have the second highest WAR overall. And Nico said some interesting stuff, too. Why don't we hear a little bit from Nico Hoerner on his press conference that you heard live right here on 104.3 The Score. Here's Nico talking about the confidence in this Cubs organization.
Yeah, it means the world because I really think, you know, you're going back and forth on, like, you know, what's important to you in this process and, like, what is going to be the most satisfying, joyful thing. And I think there'd be nothing more rewarding and satisfying than winning a championship in the place that I started. And like, there's just so many relationships in this building and people that I've gotten to know over the years. And it just, those kind of celebrations mean that much more when it's with people that you've been through a lot with. We got a small taste of that, just making the playoffs last year, winning a first round series. And, you know, I think we're a part of a group right now that's capable of a whole lot more. And I think that should be the standard moving forward. But that's absolutely the driving factor.
This is an infield that is locked up for a long, long time. Michael Busch through 2029. Nico Hoerner through 2031. Dansby Swanson through 2029. Alex Bregman through 2030. $431 million spent over three players since January. Alex Bregman, PCA, and then Nico Hoerner. It's pretty impressive. I thought that Nico also gave a great response about that infield being locked up and asked, hey, it should give you a lot of confidence, right, to get to play with the guys around you that you know are going to be here for a good number of years. And Nico added another word. He said confidence, but it also adds responsibility for an infield like that to be around for a number of years, that an organization is now depending on you to deliver. So not just 6 years, got paid, got my money, get your feet up. It's nice to hear a player acknowledge and hope we can lean on that and expect that is an incredible responsibility to show up to the yard each and every day and get it done. Let's hear another one from Nico Hoerner from that press conference today.
Reaching free agency in our sport is a really big deal. It takes time. It takes a lot of health and fortune and opportunity. And so it's not something you take lightly when that opportunity is close. But you also take a step back and think about what opportunity would be better. And I'm in a place right now where I don't think there's a better place to play baseball in the sport. You know, we have an incredible opportunity in front of us here, and having a taste of the playoffs last year and seeing what that's like, it's a thing that gives me a lot of confidence, and the values follow from there.
All right, there he is, Nico Hoerner, from that press conference today. So now all there is left to do is to start winning, right? Can we count on the winning to get started after dropping 2-3 to the Washington Nationals? They do play the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They play them tomorrow right here on the Score at Wrigley Field, 6:05. Our pregame coverage will begin. You know what I don't love looking at with the standings as of now? There's an undefeated team in the NL Central. They go by the name of the Milwaukee Brewers. Teams that are undefeated in baseball: Toronto Blue Jays, New York Yankees, Los Angeles Dodgers, Miami Marlins are off to a 3-0 start, and then the only other undefeated teams, Milwaukee Brewers.
When I saw the White Sox were up 7-1, I'm like, oh, they got this. Then about 15, 20 minutes ago, I saw the score 9-7. I was jaw-dropped for about 15, 20 seconds.
Like, come on.
Come on.
Come on. 7, let's handle one loss. Cubs are at the bottom of division. Cellar Dwellers, they are 1-2. Pittsburgh Pirates are 1-2 as well. And then the Cardinals are off to check that. The Reds are off to a 2-1 start, just like the Cardinals are. And the Milwaukee Brewers up at the top at 3-0. Cubs need to turn it around tomorrow, right? Turn it around tomorrow. The Brewers, they can't win 97 games. I mean, do they have a player over 5'4"? Here's the thing. The more you insult them, the better they get. It's like the more Pat Murphy insults them and laughs at his own team, the better they get. Is it Edward Cabrera that goes tomorrow?
Edward Cabrera on Monday, Jameson Tye on Tuesday, and then back to Matthew Boyd on Wednesday.
All right, so there you go. We've had better luck the start of the season with the youths. Cade Horton's already earned a standing ovation with the outing that he had on Saturday. Really shaky one for Matthew Boyd and a rough first inning for Shota Imanaga. And that's kind of the start to the season. 3-run homer given up today. So the Cubs, they lose the opener 10-4, win Saturday 10-2, and then they lose 6-3 today to the Washington Nationals. You heard it right here on 104.3 The Score. Look forward to hearing Pat, Ron, and Zach tomorrow. 6:05, the coverage begins. Also, really looking forward to Nico Hoerner. 6-year contract extension with Spiegel Homes every Tuesday at 2:30, including he will be with the guys this Tuesday as well. Most importantly, I still feel the way that I felt Thursday night when you and I were together, Tyler. Baseball is here. Baseball is here, and we can live and die with each and every win for 162 of them.
Let's strap in.
Best news is we got 159 to go. For Tyler Farengol, I'm Judson Richards. Have a wonderful rest of the night, everybody.